Jesus teaching in the temple, chapter 68. Who gave thee the authority to drive out of the temple the buyers and the sellers? Who told thee to do this deed? Thus the rulers questioned the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus arrived in the temple on this Tuesday morning, the rulers of the Jewish people already are waiting for him. There they stand, and those dignified scribes and Pharisees who are members of the distinguished Sanhedrin. They lie in wait for the Lord Jesus, and a false glow is in their eyes. They cannot endure this action of the Lord Jesus. Who does he think he is? Thus, they come with this seemingly harmless question. But secretly, they hope Jesus will say something with which they can accuse him. Jesus looks at them calmly. He knows the mean thoughts which have entered their hearts. He knows they have resolved to kill him. But he does not reprove them for their treachery. No, he is silent about it. Calmly, Jesus answers, I also will ask you a question. If you can answer my question, I also will tell you who gave me the authority to cleanse the temple of those shouting sellers and money changers. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? The Lord Jesus meant, was John the Baptist really a prophet sent by God, or was he a false prophet? The pious Pharisees look at each other. They did not expect a question like this. They do not feel at ease. All about them, the people wait inquisitively for their answer. How shall the Pharisees answer this question? If they should say he was a true prophet and his baptism was from heaven, they knew the Lord Jesus immediately would ask, why didn't you believe in John the Baptist? And if they should answer he was a false prophet, the people would be angry with them. Yes, there was a possibility they would be stoned, because all the people were persuaded John really was sent by God. Momentarily, they are confounded, but they are compelled to answer Jesus' question. Therefore, they say, we cannot tell. Children, this was a lie. The rulers knew very well. In their hearts, they knew John was really a servant of the Lord, but they did not want to admit it. Immediately, Jesus answers, I also refuse to answer your question. I will not tell you who gave me the authority to do these things. However, he tells them a parable upon which they must make their own application. We also will listen. A man had two sons. One day, the father went to the older son, saying, my son, go work in my vineyard today. No, I will not do it. I don't want to, this son answers. Impudent, wasn't it? Do you do this sometimes, boys and girls? How do you behave at home? Are your parents grieved because of you? If so, you needn't think you will be prosperous in your life. The older son goes away, refusing to obey his father's command. Not long after, this boy begins to consider what has happened. He begins to regret his impudent answer. He thinks, I refused to work for my father, but I will go work in his vineyard. It was wrong of me to refuse him. In haste, he goes to his father's vineyard and begins working industriously. He will make amends for his wrong behavior. Meanwhile, the father went to the younger son and said the same to him, son, go work today in my vineyard. Immediately he answers, I go, sir, I will go work. What a nice boy. He was much better than his older brother, wasn't he? But a little later, the second son thinks, I did say I would work, but I am not going to. Do you think I will toil in my father's vineyard? I certainly will not do it. A few hours later, the father goes to the vineyard. To his great astonishment, he sees his older son working industriously. His second son is nowhere to be seen. The younger son had broken his promise. When the Lord Jesus finished telling this parable, he turned to the listening Pharisees and asks, which one of the two sons did the will of his father? Immediately the rulers answer, of course, the son who finally did go work in the vineyard. This parable has a deeper meaning, children. The impudent older son repented of his disobedience. He was converted from his wickedness. By this older son, the Lord Jesus meant the publicans and sinners. It is true they were ungodly, wicked people, but if they by grace were converted from their evil ways, they would enter into eternal glory. By the younger son, the Lord Jesus meant the pious Pharisees, who did say they were devout, but with their hearts, they refused to live to the honor of God. Enmity toward God reigned in their hearts because they had not received a new heart. They lived in their unregenerate state. Afterward, the Lord Jesus spoke seriously to the Pharisees. He said, wicked, evil people and publicans shall go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? When John preached, repent ye, they received true upright repentance because of their sins. A place was made in the hearts of those publicans for the Lord Jesus. But you Pharisees did not believe the preaching of John the Baptist. You did not repent. Therefore you shall go lost unless you are humbled before God. But the wicked, despised Pharisees shall be saved. This parable contains a serious lesson for us, boys and girls. I do not advise you to live in sin as the publicans did. Oh no, but do just the opposite. Hate sin and live as you should, but do not think this makes you better than another, and neither must you think you can merit heaven thereby. No, no. Of course, you are under obligation to live becomingly, but it is not sufficient for eternity. Living a good life does not give you a new heart, because your heart will remain the same. Our hearts must be renewed, and only God can renew them. Beg the Lord daily for a new heart. After this, the Lord tells another parable. O Pharisees and scribes, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. You stand with envy and hatred in your hearts. You walk about with plans of murder in your minds. The Savior purposely tells these parables to prove to the Pharisees the wrong they are doing. He does it to warn them. The Lord begins by saying there was a certain master who planted a vineyard. He did not leave this vineyard open and without protection. No, he built a wall around it so the wild animals could not trample upon the young plants and destroy them. This master did more than build a wall. He digged a wine press in it. When the bunches of grapes are picked and pressed into the wine press, the juice runs into a wine and press vat, and by fermentation it becomes wine. It was this kind of wine press which the master built in his vineyard. He also built a tower in the vineyard, so the watchmen could keep watch over the vineyard. As you notice, this vineyard lacked nothing. When everything was completed, he rented the vineyard to some husbandmen and he journeyed into a far country. The husbandmen took care of the vineyard and cultivated it. Finally, the grapes were ripe. One day, some men approached the walled vineyard. They were servants of the master of the vineyard, who were sent by him to get the fruits. But do you know what happened? As soon as the servants came to the vineyard, the angry husbandmen seized them and abused them. They refused to give them the ripe grapes, which is unjust, because the husbandmen didn't own the vineyard, they had only hired it. Bleeding and wounded, the messengers return to their master. They tell him how they were mistreated. The master sends messengers a second time, more than the first time, but they too are mistreated or slain by the angry husbandmen. Finally, the master sent his own son. He thinks, "They will not have the courage to harm my son." But when the husbandmen saw their young master coming, they said to each other, "Let us kill this young man, for he is the heir. If we kill him, the vineyard will belong to us." And then they seize him, drag him outside the vineyard, and there they slay the son of their lawful master. Are they not afraid of the wrath of their master? Do they not fear the coming punishment? No, these ungodly husbandmen fear nothing. The Lord Jesus is silent for a moment. Searchingly, he looks at the listening Pharisees. Then he asks, "Now you tell me what must be done. What will the owner of the vineyard do?" This question is easy for the Pharisees to answer. They say, "He must kill those murderers and rent the vineyard to other husbandmen." "Exactly," the Lord said. "They will be slain by the offended and enraged master, and the vineyard will be rented to other husbandmen." The Jewish rulers understood this parable pointed to them. They raise their hands defensively and cry out fearfully, "God forbid." They mean, "No, no, that must not happen. Never, never." Do you understand the meaning of this parable? God is the owner of the vineyard. The vineyard points to the people of Israel. God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt in a wonderful way. God provided for them during 40 years' sojourn in the wilderness. He fed them with heavenly bread. He gave them water out of the rock to drink. He brought this people into the land of Canaan. The Canaanites were driven out, and the Israelites lived in a land which was not theirs, but which God gave to them. The Lord gave them judges who delivered them from their many enemies. God performed innumerable miracles to save them from destruction. Yes, the Lord did everything for these people. And what has the answer been from the Jewish nation? And did they acknowledge the Lord for those undeserved blessings? And did they walk in the ways of the Lord? Indeed not. Time after time, and they forsook the Lord. They made idols and honored those stone images as their gods. And they offended the Lord and caused his wrath to rise. They were a vile, unthankful nation. The Lord in love sent them prophets to warn them, but these servants of the Lord were mistreated and killed. Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah. Joram, the son of Jezebel, tried to kill Elisha. Micaiah was cast into prison by Ahab. Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, was stoned. Isaiah was sawed in pieces by Manasseh. Jeremiah was mistreated and beaten by his people. Finally, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came, and they rejected him. They delivered Jesus into the hands of the Romans, and he was nailed on the accursed tree. And they cried, "Away with him!" They killed him. The punishment of an enraged and offended God will come. The Romans will lay Jerusalem in ruins and burn the temple. The Jewish nation will be destroyed and carried away captive. Do you understand how this parable exactly fits the Jewish nation and also the foolish Pharisees? This parable is one of the last warnings given by the Lord Jesus to show them the terrible consequences of their wickedness. And did they listen? Did they humbly pray to the Messiah for forgiveness? Read what is written in the Bible. They sought to lay hands on him. No, they do not submit, but they seek to murder him. Isn't it dreadful? However, this parable also applies to our nation. God delivered us from the might of our enemies. God has delivered us surprisingly. Many, many wonders have been performed by God. The history of our fatherland is full of them. The Lord sent his servants. In former days, God-fearing servants have warned our nation to forsake sin. Our nation still is being warned by God's servants. What answer does our nation give to all these admonitions of the Lord? We have forsaken the Lord. The greatest sins are openly practiced. Nearly all people throughout our land curse and misuse God's holy name. Drunkenness and terrible ungodliness increase visibly. God's day is despised. The people of our land dance, sing, and play, curse, and feast riotously. Our nation acts as though no God exists in heaven. O children, isn't it to be feared the punishment will soon come? And the punishment will be severe. Why severe? Because our responsibility is much greater than that of the heathens. The sins ruin our people and our nation. How do you live, boys and girls? Alas, many are indifferent. The name of the Lord is used so often in cursing, even by children. How often isn't the worship of the Lord spoken of in jesting? You also refuse to listen to the admonitions of the Lord. You resist the institutions of the Lord. Do you think God will permit himself to be mocked? Do you imagine it will be well? It is impossible. It is to be feared our country will be laid waste, and our nation will fall in distress and misery. Beg the Lord to draw you from sin by the operation of his Spirit. Pray for mercy. It is still possible. Tomorrow it may be too late. It will be terrible for an unconverted person to meet God.